Let me ask you to remain standing as we read God's word together from Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. You'll notice that Luke is sharing in chapter 18, two of Jesus' parables. We'll read the second parable. The first parable dealt with the persistent woman, and the second parable is our text for this morning. Let us read God's word together. It's on the back of your worship bulletin and it's on the screen as well. Let us read God's word. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, criminal, unjust, adulterer, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much to raise his eyes to heaven. Did I make a mistake? Oh, the translation is different. All right, here we go. Let's read on the screen then. Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadow, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, God, give me mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to share with you with excitement and joy the title of my sermon for this morning, In the Shadow of the Cross. In the Shadow of the Cross. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. In the Shadow of the Cross. Amen. The backdrop that we have on the screen, of course, is in the old city of Jerusalem, known as the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, or the way of suffering and grief. But it's also a good illustration as it relates to what is occurring in that narrow alley in the old city. You have on my right a chapel that one can tour that chapel and pray in that chapel. You have on the top as well a church. And then in that alley you have a stone in commemoration of Jesus carrying the cross on his shoulder and walking down the Via Dolorosa. You also have the opportunity to see the backdrop of the shadow of the cross. It is a clear reminder that indeed God is always with us. The cross is a reminder that our Savior paid the sin debt for you and me. Amen. It's also a reminder that even the shadow of death can't separate us from the love of God. Don't you remember David in the book of Psalms, Psalms 23, we know that psalm by heart. But if you remember the fourth verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death. And there are numerous shadows that we have to deal with. The shadow of death, the shadow of doubt, the shadow of fear, the shadow of envy, the shadow of jealousy. But yet the cross reminds us where our victory was won. If you look closely at this cross here, and it has this weekend, we had a team of folks who were here as a district training, and they put up their concerns with their prayers, and you were invited to do as well. We have one here, one to my right. But they were really excited that they could place their concern on the cross, on the cross. The shadow of the cross is the background to remind us that our Savior is with us. What is a shadow? I'm glad you asked. Here's a definition. A dark area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface. The backdrop of a shadow can also be frightening. It also can be a loved one's shadow. But it's in the text, as we read the backdrop of this text, that God was in the temple, in the synagogue, if you will, during the present time that two men came along. Now, I want to call your attention to how God moves in a mysterious ways. In fact, it's a focus on how many men? Oh, come on. How many men? Two. If you read your Bible, the Bible explicitly shares with us that we have two testaments, an old and a new. You remember Noah? When Noah was told to get ready for the flood, Noah was told to get prepared. Preparation is extremely important. You don't believe that? You look closely. He tells Noah to get prepared and to take how many animals of the same kind?
Two.
That's it. You remember Jesus when he came along and the angel Gabriel wanted to make sure that his birth was announced? The Bible tells us it's in the Gospels, but it only appears how many times?
Two.
One in Matthew and one in Luke. But all four gospel writers record the Calvary cross story. Two is very important in our lives. We have two people in the text. We have two kinds of prayers. We have two responses from God. The number two is extremely important even in our everyday lives. How many of you, by a show of hands, and I see that we have Amber and Tony here, and Tony was our guru and put everything together. How many of you participated in the cornhole tournament last Sunday? Just raise your hands. Don't be bashful. But in that tournament, how many entries did you have, Tony?
There were a total of
5. All right, 26 entries. But he only had how many people? That one? Just two. Yeah, the number two. You don't believe that, do you? Let me show you the picture. I didn't win, Linda, and I didn't win. All right. Here we go. There we go. Give them a hand. Yeah, they're on the big screen. Yeah. When the NCAA basketball tournament started, it started out with 64 teams, ultimately. It had 68, but that's a whole nother story. But 64 teams. But now they only have how many, Sam? Two on the women's side and two on the men's side. The number two is so important to the text today and the reality of the text, because Jesus is sharing with his audience and he's teaching his audience the importance of prayer, how to have a proper prayer, and then what is a selfish prayer. It's right here in the text. It's a clear reminder that when we come to pray to God and Reverend Waters call us into a period of prayer and worship, we don't have to give a long laundry list to God, but it's because he knows all and sees all. We don't have to give our resume to God. We don't have to talk about all of our great piety, all our great holy work and this, that, and the other. God knows. But God is looking at the altars of our hearts. How many of you know that God answers sincere prayers by a show of hand? If you're sincere with your prayers, God will answer your prayers. We had a member of our church, and she wants me to share this with you as a testimony, Ms. Nichols. She had a situation that happened on Sunday after church, and yet she was in the hospital. But oh boy, on Tuesday morning, as she was getting ready to get out of the hospital, she was giving God the praise and God the glory, because she said the church prayer team, not the doctors, not the medicine, the prayer team helped restore my faith and renew my faith and give me the energy to move on, to move on. On Wednesday night, we studied as it relates to giving up something bad for Lent. We know by giving up something good for Lent, like chocolate or potato chips or this, that, and the other, but giving up something bad, bad habits, bad ways. And we also share one of the fastest scriptures, you might want to check it out, One of the fastest scriptures that is going around that's kind of replacing John 3:16 is Matthew's gospel, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. Matthew's gospel, 7th chapter and the 1st verse. It is a clear reminder of Jesus on that Sermon on the Mountain. Many people are replacing John 3:16 with Matthew 7:1. I'm glad you're looking it up because it goes this way. Judge not that you might not be judged. Now, if you don't believe that, look at this passage of scripture that we have today. And before we look at it at the last service, and so I'm going to do it here now, I want you to read this poem with me, a beautiful poem. Here we go. We're going to share it together. It's going to be on the screen. All right, here we go. Let's say it. There's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Boy, that's some good stuff. Yeah. You don't believe that? Look at the text. Jesus is sharing as he's getting ready to share with his audience. And he shares this parable, this short story. He shares that two men, how many? Two, went up in the temple. And I'm so glad that these two brothers decided to come to church this morning. Boy, they had gone to the same barber shop. Isn't that something? Yeah. Decided to hang out with us, and Linda dressed them extremely well yesterday. He shares that two men went into the temple. One was a Pharisee. The Pharisee was what? Self-righteous. The Pharisee believed in himself. And read the text. The Bible says in the 9th verse, and he despised others. He despised others. You look closely in the text and look at this next screen here, and you'll see as it relates to the definition of a Pharisee. And I guarantee you, you don't know any people like this, do you? Let me put my hands in my pocket. The Pharisee was a spiritual leader, and he knew the scriptures. In fact, the Bible tells us in the description of a Pharisee that a Pharisee, he knew how to pray. The Pharisees prayed at least 3 times daily. Nothing's wrong with that. The Pharisees also believed in fasting. You see that right here. They believed in fasting, and the days of fasting, according to biblical history, is Mondays and Thursdays. And the reason they fast on Mondays and Thursdays, check it out when you go home. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. It's because that was the day that they would go into the marketplace and sell their goods. And so they felt that if I demonstrate my piety, that I'm fasting and praying, having my head down. You remember in Matthew's gospel when Jesus shared the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew chapter 6? He said, when you fast, don't do like the hypocrites. Don't place your head down and let everybody know that you're fasting, but that's what the Pharisees would do. Now, the Pharisees also believed in giving a tithe, a tenth of their earnings. Nothing wrong with that as well. That's biblical. That's what we're required to do in expectations from God. They believed in praying. They believed in fasting. They believed in tithing. But you just keep reading and hanging out with this guy. But what about the guy here? On my right, the IRS. Even in the Bible, the IRS was present. You don't believe the IRS still exists? Just count the days. April 15th, the IRS want to hear from us. Amen? He was a spiritual outcast, a tax collector. Why? He was an outcast because he would oppress the people. He would receive the taxes from the Roman government, but he would also add a little something, something, a little extra. He would tax the people a little extra, and he would keep the remaining. It's a clear reminder that if you look closely at this passage of scripture, you'll see indeed how Jesus shares this illustration with you and with me as it relates to judging others. And you'll see that there's always 2 sides to every coin, a head and a tail. 2 sides to every conversation. And Jesus shares explicitly with this illustration. And the next point is this point. If you look closely in your Bibles, there are two kinds of prayers, a haughty prayer and a humble prayer. A haughty prayer, and I want you to check it out. If you look closely, you'll see that the Pharisee, he comes alone. And the Bible says he stood up. He stood up, standing tall, looking to the heavens. But mind you, he wasn't praying to God. We just finished reading the passage of Scripture. The Bible says he was praying to himself. To himself. He was telling God, so he thought, that all of these glorious things, I thank you, that I'm not a criminal, that I'm not unjust, not an adulteress. And then he even had to have the audacity to say, I'm not like that tax collector. Now, the tax collector was not even acknowledging this man, but he looks over and he points out the tax collector. How many of you heard the children's message by Tim? It was a great message. That's not only happening in school, it can happen in church and community and jobs. The Pharisee gets out of his lane and deals with the tax collector. Thank God I'm not like him. But if you read closely and want to know how to have a humble prayer, check this guy out. The IRS, I can't believe I said it. Check out the tax collector. The tax collector, in his total state of humility, the Bible says, I don't want you to think I'm making this up, the Bible says, he wouldn't even lift his head up towards the heaven. He looked down. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, a sinner. This humble prayer, he didn't have any flowery words, eloquent words. He didn't try and impress the Pharisee who probably overheard him praying. He looked inwardly. That's what we all have to do. He looked inwardly at himself and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that I'm a sinner, saved by the grace and the hands of God, and God is my judge. And God sees all and knows all, and the shadow of the cross reminds me that God is with me. Regardless of what you're dealing with today, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will be omnipresent. He'll be right there with you in good times and bad times. When you're on the apex of the mountain and when you're in your valley lows, God is there. Look at the next point. It's right here. Two kinds of prayer. One, man was refused by God. One man was received by God. We all are in our Father's hands. Let me close by sharing this story with you. It's about a Cherokee Indian. And he was sharing with his grandson. And he's sharing with his grandson. And he was teaching his grandson about life. And he shared with his grandson that within us are two wolves. One wolf is bad. The other one is good. And it continues to be an inner fight, a battle that's going on within. And so he told him that that bad wolf is jealousy, envy, hatred. But he said that good wolf is meekness, kind, long-suffering, forgiveness. And his grandson said, and perhaps Grayson's going to say that one day, which one wins? He said, the one you feed. The one you feed. This morning, this is an open communion table. The United Methodist Church has an open table. All are invited to the table. There's a hymn we're going to sing, hymn number 641 by Richard Blanton. It says, fill my cup, Lord, fill it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. the one you feed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.